What are you going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you into another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoss, C70th Bat. With me is Alan Medlock, a Medlock1 on Twitter at the Redbird Daily, writing, I will apologize up front. I've dealt with a cold most of the last couple of days, and so if you hear hacking and sniffling, I apologize. I'll try to keep that to a minimum, but I make no promises. Hacking and sniffling and all that may be a very good description for the Cardinals as well. Over the last little bit, it seems like there's no momentum and nothing going right overall for the Cardinals. You know, Alan, before we get into the significant roster churn that we saw this week, and I think they've finally given us what they've been talking about since June, you know, we saw a week where, you know, they go in and they lose 2-3 to the Padres, which we talked about last week, but then they lose again 2-3 to the Rays. Could have even easily gotten swept in that series. And then they split against the Brewers. They win the first one against San Francisco, but then, you know, losing as we're recording this right now, it's about the fourth inning. It just, you know, one step forward, one step back, and this time of year, there's not a whole lot of steps left to take.
No, and they just no momentum. You hit the nail on the head on that. I was the most noteworthy thing that happened this week were definitely the roster movement. But they are who they are. You know, it's probably going to be around 500. I just don't see a situation where they're going to take off. I know the schedule should be favorable to them. I was worried about this West Coast trip as it is, but you know. We'll see how they can do here in San Diego. Then you got Pittsburgh back in St. Louis. But the way that the approach that I've taken at this point now is, you know, they're in it. They're going to play some meaningful games. I'm not optimistic it's going to turn out how we want it to, but just enjoy it while it's done. And I'm glad they're making some of these moves to churn over some of this roster. I was really surprised. I was elated with the Leak move. I know we're going to get into that. And then I know that the Seager's move, which I thought would happen really quickly, but I'm glad that they're taking the aggressive approach on this and moving into their offseason thought process now, even while semi-contending. So at least it's made it fun to watch out the rest of the spring and maybe to look forward to you know, that 40-man roster build up in November and in the winter meetings. And you know, there's a little bit of momentum moving toward the offseason more than there is in the end of the season. So that's one of the things you can look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, we may come back and talk a little bit about what the Cardinals have done this week and who's done what, but it really is just that point in time where it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. You know, if the Cardinals lose today, which, you know, it's a very good possibility, not guarantee, obviously, but, you know, they'll be right back at 500 again. And, I mean, if you're 500, you know, the first day of September, you know, do you really deserve to be in the playoffs? Not necessarily. I mean, you can't get there, but, you know, you should be well buried and looking forward to next year anyway. And so that seems to be what the Cardinals have gone ahead and done. And, you know, there's some idea, and fair to say, I think, that the Cardinals front office could also assume that, you know, if they're going to win, these are the guys that are going to help them the most. You know, Mike Leake, and obviously, we'll go ahead and talk about that deal, which came down on Wednesday, out of nowhere. And I know the Cardinals are good about keeping things quiet, but that was just, you know, stunning to see. But, you know, when you give a guy away, and let's not do anything. They gave Mike Leake away to somebody that would take him. You know, this is the thing where if Mike Leake was at your garage sale and somebody came up and offered you 50 cents, you know, you would have taken it. Or he had a sign on him that says, you tall it, you got it, you know, or something like that. Cardinals send, you know, cap money for the international signings, which they couldn't use anyway. They send $17 million to Seattle and to get back some, you know, young shortstop guy that has never proved a hit and, you know, is probably going to be forgotten within a couple of years. I mean, you know, strange things happen. We probably thought that about David Fries as well, but for the most part, don't expect to have to learn the guy's name. We'll ask Kyle about him next week. Maybe he has a different opinion. I don't know, but that's what we're getting at right now. I mean, but that, you know, Mike Leake had a 10 ERA in August. He had struggled since that, you know, sub-2 ERA he had put up at the beginning of May. And you could argue that the numbers weren't as bad as they should, or, you know, his results were worse than maybe they should have been, or there were, you know, mitigating circumstances. We're not talking as much about the defense behind him as we did last year, but, you know, maybe it plays a little bit too. But all in all, it just didn't feel like a good fit. And, you know, when the manager doesn't want to put him out there, then, and I mean, and this is, you know, this is Mike Matheny, who's been as loyal to his players as he can be. When Mike Matheny does not want to start him, I mean, that's going to tell you something.
Yeah, it was surprising. And it's, you know, of all that talk where we were like, well, you know, if, you know, they haven't announced the starter yet, it's going to be Leak, or they would have said something. I never in a million years thought it was because they were working to trade him. Yeah, I thought there were other reasons. I thought, you know, are they trying to come up with an injury here? Is it one of those things? But I didn't realize that was the case. They had approached his representation over the weekend to try to get an answer before that next start and then gave it to him. And, you know, lo and behold, he helped himself out, kind of like we talked about last Friday. So, yeah, it was it's funny. Just like you and I had talked about, though, this is we had kind of talked about how they were going to step out of their comfort zone to improve. And we thought maybe overpaying or trading to get a big contract, you know, take on an albatross of a contract from somebody else, or, you know, paying over slot on a certain free agent. Some of that kind of makes a little bit of sense now that they're kind of willing to eat some of the money that they've earned, you know, in a deal like this to clear roster space and to make way for, you know, your Flaherty and your Weaver to come in and start and give guys opportunity. So it's pretty interesting. I was really fired up they found somebody to take that, because thinking about the 2018 rotation the whole time, in the back of your mind you're thinking, well, where you would want Lynn, probably not going to happen. Waka, you know, you're going to have him at least through 19, and that's arbitration number wise what's going to happen, but you can't really promote anybody else in that, other than, you know, you'd have one guy at a time because you have that Leak deal. So they were able to move that. They were willing to eat money to do it. It was basically, you're right, a giveaway, and it just opens up a spot for guys that they need to see, yeah, need to see perform. So I think it was a win-win all the way around for the Cardinals, and I feel like they've kind of taken advantage of DePoto twice in 6 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would not argue that they made a bad trade. Again, even though I'm saying they gave him away, and they did. You never really expected anybody to take him. You know, it's kind of what,
exactly.
To continue the metaphor, it's that couch you put out and says free to a good home, and, and nobody, you know, for like sits out there for like 2 weeks because nobody wants to load the thing up. And they did. And I mean, and there's arguments that, you know, Mike Leake could do perfectly well. I mean, he's out in Seattle, in a situation that's probably better for him. I mean, he's closer to his parents. Something we've kind of talked about with Steve Piscotty at times. But also in a good pitcher's park, which, I mean, Busch Stadium is too, but in a league that hasn't seen him. So at least maybe he'll have some unfamiliarity there. It may turn out okay for Seattle, especially for this year, when they're trying to make a push for that wild card. You know, whatever the case may be, hopefully it'll work out better. And again, you could argue that Leak's tenure in St. Louis was not as bad as it could have been, that it was close to what you would have expected overall. But It was time for change. Like you said, I think the biggest thing is it frees up that spot in the next year's rotation. Because that was our argument. You know, you had suggested that they should bring Lynn back, and that was fair enough argument. That was my counter, was there's just not room for him. Because of all these guys that have to, they're kind of locked into positions. Well, they got rid of Leak, which nobody expected. Of course, then you and I were talking, and a lot of people were, that when this news is breaking, when then we say, okay, well, the Cardinals must be freeing this up to sign Lance Lynn, to make it, you know, there's at least a place for Lynn now. But then they come out and say, you know, they're looking to get younger. Lance Lynn comes out, and besides the fact being very disappointed in the fact that Leak was gone, continues to reiterate, as he has all year long, that nobody has contacted him about a contract extension yet, and it's getting kind of late in the day for there not to be in any talks. It just feels like, as you said, kind of, and as Mo said, it just feels like they're going to roll the dice and go with Martinez and Wainwright and, you know, whatever young arms they could put behind him, whether it's, you know, Waka and Weaver and Flaherty, or, you know, whenever Alex Reyes is ready, or, you know, whatever the case may be, they're not looking for necessarily comfortable veterans. They're going to look for high upside things, and that can work, and it might not.
Yeah, it's an approach that surprises me, because they've, within the whole Mosaic tenure, it's always been about pitching and safety in numbers pitching, and covering your back with injuries pitching. And it feels like there's going to be a lot of question mark, a lot of upside, but a lot of question mark with what they have going forward. But it seems like that's the way that they're going to do it. Like it's going to be controllable pitching here for the next few years, to see what they can do. They feel like they have enough backloaded that some of these guys have to start graduating to the big leagues and start performing. I was all in for a Lynn reunion. I thought it worked out perfectly. Somebody that you know you can get, that you know you're going to get to that 200 inning mark, and just a horse that you need. I was just convinced that that's just not going to happen. I don't think that they're going to go that route. Derek Gould had reported that one of the reasons they wouldn't pursue Lynn is they may pursue another starter. I didn't get that feeling either. You know, they play it tight, and they play it quiet a lot, and they may come out and make a move to take a contract off a team, you know, and trade from a strength to get a pitcher. But I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they go into spring next year with a couple rookies already slotted in behind, you know, Wainwright, Martinez, and Waka, and see what happens, knowing that you have Reyes, who will probably be ready to go midway through the season. Hudson's knocking on the door. You know, they have options in house, and that to them they're cheap options, and they're as good as, you know, they may be as good as anybody they can get on the market, and they'll probably go that route and see what they can do. Just like we and I had mentioned it, I just hope that doesn't turn into where we're building up to think that they're just a piece away or two pieces away from really contending next year. And they've got a lot of complimentary pieces. They just need that star. I just hope that it doesn't turn into, hey, let's see what we got in the pitching as it worked with the offense this year, of, hey, we've got to see what these guys have eventually. And then that turned into the rotation of, let's see what these guys, we've got to take our lumps with this. But not getting another bat, and it'd be another year of the offense. And then it turns into a truly rebuilding season.
Yeah, it's... I mean, right now it's difficult to judge some of this stuff, because it is going to depend on what they do with this flexibility, with this payroll issues, all that going forward, to really know. I mean, if they just wind up saving a whole lot of money and not doing anything, then there's going to be, you know, a lot of aggravation and a lot of people worked up. But I do think when you come out and say, hey, we want to get younger, hey, we want to do, you know, we want to try these guys out, it becomes more difficult to go out and sign, you know, for instance, a Mike Leake type of guy. Who, you know, Mike Leake, 29 years old, not that old, but, you know, it's still difficult to go out and sign those guys when at least one of your reasons for making the trade in the first place was to get rid of a guy like that. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't backtrack, and I can't, you know, if something comes right into your lap and you say, look, we weren't looking for this, but we felt like we couldn't pass it up. I mean, yeah, it's possible. But for the most part, yeah, I think you're gonna see these young guys get a pitching starts. You know, you're gonna have a very interesting, at this rate, very interesting spring training, because, you know, you'll have Weaver and you'll have Flaherty and you'll have probably Austin Gomber. You can have Flaherty. You know, Alcantara is probably, looks like he's gonna be a bullpen piece, but you never know. I mean, there's a lot of guys that could be fighting for that fourth and fifth starter spot that we're not used to. I mean, we've kind of gone into spring training knowing rosters for the last 2 or 3 years. It could be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I'm not excited about that, you know, a little bit, to see how the roster's going to turn out. I did a lot of digging on the 40-man, and I think everybody has this week, just to kind of see how things were going. And there's going to be a lot of interesting things that happen before they have to announce that in November. And there could be a lot of movement that way. I always think back to the Gersh comment about how they could, there will be a lot of turnover on the 40 man, and it could look completely different. And, you know, half of it could be, you know, completely different than what it is today. They could do that, everything that he just said, and they not have to make any moves out of the organization. You know, there's that much talent ready to kind of come in, and there's that much, you know, talent or played out talent that could be heading out. So it could be exciting, and I think it will. There's just, after this season, there's just so much uncertainty in thinking that they're going to go out and get one of the big pieces, that looking at the roster, it brings up a lot of questions about some of the things that they could do. And it almost forces them to have to make some trades just out of surplus. And that's where I think that they may improve by accident, basically, by just having to move off some of the stale roster that we think may be some of the culprits in that. I think that one of the mains is, you know, going to be a Carpenter type, but I just don't see him being moved. But there are some other guys on the everyday roster that may be moved for those very reasons.
Yeah, I mean, just this week, I mean, the 40-man has seen a good bit of turnover, enough that you could start, if you're putting that toward the, you know, 50% or whatever, they've made a pretty good start already. You know, obviously, we talked about the leak trade got made. It was announced that Jack Flaherty would be taking his spot in the rotation. Flaherty, of course, didn't come up until today when the roster is expanded, but he took that spot on the 40-man that leak vacated. And we've seen him pitch a little bit today. Then yesterday, the Cardinals waived Kevin Sechrist, who had been with the team for quite some time, and added and brought up John Gant to the big leagues to fill Leak's spot there. But they kind of waived Sechrist to get ready for today's boost, which we'll get to in a bit of it. You know, and I will say, I want to give credit where it's due. Rusty and Adam on the Birdlaw podcast, I was just listening to that, you know, like a day or so ago, and they suggested that Sechrist would be a non-tender candidate at the end of the year, and end of the year just came a little earlier than we thought. And it kind of took, I mean, I understood it, and there's been a lot of talk about Sechrist declining velocity, and, you know, if he comes back, there would have been five lefties in the bullpen, and, you know, what does that all matter? And I'm still very surprised to see them go that route and getting rid of him now, especially when there's some other guys on the 40-man that were, you know, kind of iffy, that could have been removed.
Yeah, and it was, I had even heard, you know, Langosh talk this week about they're ready for Sears to come back and be one of the veterans in the bullpen and maybe be a late-inning option. I figured that I didn't think they would go to arbitration with him again, so I figured that he would be non-tendered at this point, just due to the guys that they do have coming back, and the fact they are probably going to have a clear spot to add a veteran back there of some sort that can get guys out. But I never expected it to be like this. You know, that one really caught me off guard. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, this is terrible to put it out this way, but, you know, I text you, I was like, you know, it feels like throats are being slit. You know, they're not messing around. They're going at people, and they're going at guys that they've relied on and have been very good players for them, and it just shows that I think that they're willing to play. I don't know. I just think it makes all around whether we're going to see a whole new roster of players from Memphis next year, or we're going to see guys from outside the organization. I think that there's going to be movement one way or the other.
It would seem to be. It's just really interesting that they're getting that, you know, they're going to use September as this, you know, laboratory, if you will. And they're going to do it with, like I said, with people that they weren't going to be sentimental and give, you know, Kevin Seagrist another shot at St. Louis. I mean, even though he'd had some good years there, and I'm not saying he's a fan favorite or anything, but, you know, put it this way, if Mike Matheny was the GM, he probably would have brought him back.
Yeah.
You know, Moe's not. And Gersh, and it's kind of interesting, I will say, in a side note, it's very interesting we still don't hear anything out of Gersh. You know, even though he's taking over the GM roles. And I know there's a transition time, and Moe's got a lot of this stuff on his plate still because of the relationships he has with other people. But, you know, I really thought we'd hear some stuff out of Gersh this week after those trades that, you know, it's still just Moe. I don't know what that means, if anything, but it's just kind of interesting to see.
Well, it's probably the best time for him to take this job, but it's probably the worst time as well, because this is requiring a lot of conversation. You know, every week, this is probably the most I've heard the front office talk this year, just because there's so many questions that need answered on a regular basis. So, could be the best times and worst time for Mazalek, and I would assume that will probably start transitioning probably around the winter meetings.
Yeah, we'll see. But, you know, I know that, you know, a lot of times in South Chicago, they're still talking to Theo Epstein, and out in Oakland, they talk to Billy Beane, and so Moe's still probably going to have a pretty significant presence. But anyway, it's just kind of interesting because, you know, these are trades that are going to go down as, you know, both Marco Gonzalez and this trade should go down as a Gersh trade because he was GM at the time. But, you know, how much did he have to do with it? We don't know.
Well, there's a big part of me that wonders who we talk to next year. I would assume it would be Gersh, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was still Mo. You know, I don't know why.
Yeah. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not both of them.
Yeah. That's a good point.
They both come in with Bill DeWitt, but we'll see.
Got a long time for that.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, and then the Cardinals today, you know, promote five. They bring up Bader back up. They bring, hang on, let me get my list here before I go start rattling off the top of my head. Bring Alex Bahia back up. You know, they bring Flaherty up. They added Alberto Rosario back to the 40 man and brought him up because you got to have 3-8 catchers in the fall. That meant Sean Gilmartin, who most signed the day we were at Blogger Day this last time, got cut, which, you know, that was just a flyer type of thing anyway, so it's not too surprising. And then Sandy Alcantara got added and brought up. I think that's probably, it's be interesting to see what we get out of Bader, and, you know, Bader hit a home run tonight. We'll see if he's made some adjustments. You know, I don't expect to see Mejia much. Shouldn't see Rosario much. It may let us see Carson Kelly pitch it a little bit more. But Alcantara could be the interesting one. I mean, he's been a starter for most of the season. Just recently moved to relief. A guy that can throw around 100 or so, especially when he's, you know, not being a starter. Got some other pitches. I don't want to put that on him because I don't think I'd want it, but Cardinals are going to be looking for a closer next year, and there are not many options in-house. You know, they may let him do a little bit of closing down the stretch here now that the Cardinals don't really have anybody, and see what they've got.
Well, I did hear Gersh comment today, and it was they do expect him to get some late inning appearances, and they want to see him light up the gun. So I think that was a lot of it. You know, kind of, he's not the polished pitcher that Rosenthal was when Rosenthal mm-hmm. came up, but that's how they used him, you know, to come and get those big strikeouts. Yeah, I mean, that adds to the excitement. You know, it kind of stinks that everybody, that the promotions have to happen when they're on the West Coast, because if it was in St. Louis, the atmosphere would be electric right now. So, but I'm glad. I mean, I'm glad they're trying these things out. I wanted that all year. I thought Hudson may be the one to get it outside of Alcaterra. And I don't really know how to say his last name. I feel like we hear both of that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You may hear me say, it's just one guy. That's all I'm saying.
Don't worry. Ortiz will come and tell us how to say it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I know. I'll probably get called out. he or Wainwright will call us up or something. I mean, it'll be exciting. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm glad they're making these moves. And I can't say that enough to where, you know, just like you and I talked about, it was, don't ruin our summer, which they've been in it long enough to where, you know, we're getting into the fall. That's all right. And if you're going to do it, don't do it with the stale roster. And they're making the changes. So, you know, let's be grateful for what we have, and hopefully he'll come in and strike some guys out and put himself on the radar for next year. The Rosenthal situation, I know we haven't gotten into the rosters a whole lot, but that is going to be a very interesting situation to watch.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, Rosenthal had his Tommy John surgery this week. You know, which means, you know, he's pretty much out for all of them next year. I mean, it's a, you know, we saw Zach Duke come back. There's some argument that Zach Duke's not still fully healthy. He's still got some issues, but for the most part, he's fine. You know, can Rosenthal do that? Because he's got to have that fastball. Even at that, he's, you know, you're looking at August of next year probably before, you know, maybe late July if you could do the Duke trade, but. That was almost unheard of. If he's back by August or September next year, you know, and then he's a free agent. I mean, do you non-tender him this year? Do you, you know, try to sign him to some extended contract? I mean, there's a lot of different things to think about, I guess, there. I mean, if you're going to put down some money on it, what do you think they're going to do with him?
Oh, man. When it happened initially, I thought, okay, I could see a fluff contract for next year, the year after, and be very incentive heavy. But with Boris being his representation, I have a hard time believing that will happen. I don't think they can afford to go to arbitration with him, because, you know, I think that would be lost money regardless. I think that you would have to negotiate a contract that was close, because he may make $6-7 million. Just by setting, you know what I mean? Just because of what he's done already. So I don't know if that's the route to go. And I'm really worried that we've seen the last of him. And which is kind of hard to say, but then it kind of goes into, we're going to have to go into this head first if we really want this roster to change. And I know I'm the guy that's pounding the gavel saying that they need to bring back Lynn. And that would probably signal one of those to where it's like, that's not a whole lot of change. And, you know, I just don't see it. I think that it's over. I mean, I don't think that he comes back. And as much as I want to say that they could work something out, I'm just not optimistic with Boris that they could.
Yeah, I mean, Rosenthal at $6.4 million this year, you know, if you tender him a contract, even if you pretty much guarantee that he's going to make at least seven.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, paying $7 million to a guy that's not going to pitch, and there's no guarantee he's going to pitch for you the next year, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So, yeah, I think, especially when you're looking at freeing up spots on this 40-man, you know, we've talked about it all year, that, hey, there's some dead spots that they could get rid of, but, you know, you start looking at it, it's like, well, and you looked at it today. You could talk to it about it more than I can, but, you know, I'm kind of looking at it. And obviously, they could, you know, they just put Rosario on there. They could drop him off again. Mike Myers could come off. I don't know about Valera. I mean, some of these younger guys that haven't made it up yet. You know, obviously, there's some guys that need to go on. I mean, Austin Gomber's got to go on before the end of the the Rule 5. So,
yeah.
I mean, just in general, I guess, when you started digging into this, what did you find that was interesting?
Well, and that's, you know, Duke, Lynn, and Duke, Lynn, Owen, and Rosenthal are guaranteed to not be on it next year. You know, it's one of those. Other than them bringing him back, it doesn't matter. But they're not going to be on the 40 man in November. You know, one of those things. By the time they have to turn this in, because then you know they'll have to exchange the. You know, they're not going to bring back Duke, I wouldn't assume. And then you know the Lynn situation is the it. You know where we stand on that. Oh. And, you know, I can't imagine coming back. And then Rosenthal is going to be off, whether that's on the 60-man or the 60-day or off entirely.
Well, I mean, the 60-day doesn't count in the off season.
No. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
they'd have to either move him back to the 40 or get rid of him. So,
exactly, which won't happen by, you know, November regardless.
Yeah.
The names that are interesting, though, is if I'm not mistaken, and my math may be wrong on this, I tried to verify as much as I could with Kyle, just because when you get into, I know the rules with the age and the drafting and, you know, with the 19-year-old rules and, you know, if it's, you know, younger, you go 5 years, if it's older, you go four. I mean, I got all that. But some of the international guys make it a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
And I was looking now. If I'm right, I think Wisdom has to go on it or he becomes a minor league free agent. And can go wherever he wants. I think O'Neill's do, and Gomber's both do. And then Mercado, Ponce de Leon, and then Andrew Morales was another name that Kyle had brought up. And those are the ones that they may have to add. But there's a lot of, you know, your Josh Lucas types, your Myers types. You know, they were kind of forced their hand with Rowan Wick last year. I'm kind of curious that he wasn't another one of the call-ups, but he may be in Memphis to close some games out for them.
Yeah.
So that may have happened. You know, then you have, I don't know, there's going to be a lot of guys that aren't brought back. I would think Mejia's probably done. I don't know about Edmundo Sosa. I don't know much about him. But then you look at, like, what's the story with Diaz?
Yeah.
Is Diaz important enough to Memphis that they left him down and were afraid they couldn't find him at bats? Or, you know, what's the story on that? I had actually kind of had a correspondence with Gould today, and he, on a tweet, said that this will be their last round out of Memphis. They're pretty much done grabbing everybody out of Memphis. And I said, well, does that say anything other than the obvious for Ledmus Diaz? And he went, and he responded with a, what's the obvious? Well, all I meant was, he's still in Memphis. That's the obvious. You know, is that going to change after Gould had mentioned that guys were coming up? And I said, well, I'm sorry. This is what I meant by that. He's still in Memphis. That's all I'm saying. And he goes, well, he's in Memphis, but it's not forever. So I don't know what that means. You know, I don't know if anybody knows. I don't know if anybody knows what the plans are. I understand that Mejia is a better defensive shortstop. And that may be what they look at next year to go with a DeJong. But, you know, for a guy that was an all-star last year, and I know that he was pretty bad in the first half, he's got thrown out pretty quickly where he's had no worse this season than Piscotty did. Mm-hmm. You know, Diaz can run the bases. Diaz can do a lot of things. You know, he's not the best shortstop. May have been playing out of character as a shortstop. May have just hit over his head and it was been a flash in the pan. I don't know. But I figured that he had hit enough to deserve another shot. And it just surprises me that he didn't get it. So I don't know. I don't know what the situation is on that. But that's I probably named 10, 12 names right there that are questionable. And if they weren't on the roster next year, probably don't raise a lot of eyebrows. So there could be a lot of interesting movement. It points to a big outfielder being moved. I would think that unless you can go get Kyle seems to think that the Stanton deal's not dead, and they may go in all in on him. Maybe another one of their outfielders. I don't know, but they have a lot of surplus that they're going to have to move regardless. So I was just looking at. It's really interesting. And the 40-man, when it has to be finalized for the first time for the draft in November, could be really, really intriguing.
Yeah, it would seem to be. I don't know. I had gotten the impression, I didn't see that from Derek, and so I'd seen something else along the way that there might be more call-ups at some point in time. Because I could see that. I mean, you leave some there for Memphis to be able to make their run. and then, you know, maybe pick a couple of them up when they're done.
And I had heard that Sierra is coming up after Springfield's done. Yeah. They're a game back of Tulsa right now. So I think that they're leaving him there until that gets decided, and he's coming.
Well, and I had to double check. For some reason, you can tell me, maybe without me looking, I thought they had won the first half, and so they were going to be in the playoffs anyway. Let me double check that and see. I thought I'd have that discussion with Kyle. No, Northwest Arkansas won the first half. So yeah, they're in the battle for second. There's one game there. Right now, it was Peoria, I think, that won the first half anyway. So yeah, Sierra, you got to figure is going to be up. But Diaz is interesting. I mean, it's not that he didn't hit that well, although 240, 245 or whatever it is in Memphis is not great. But, you know, I think what they really probably wanted to see was a little bit more of that selectivity that he had last year. Mm-hmm. And his on-base percentage in Memphis is under 300. You know, and if you're putting up a sub-300 OBP in Memphis, you know, what makes you think that they're going to, you know, it's suddenly going to jump when you go back to the big leagues? I'm a little surprised. And again, maybe he will come up at the end of, you know, the end of the run or whatever. It is a little surprising not to have him up there, because he's been a big leaguer. You know, if they don't bring him up, yeah, I don't know. I think his contract is over at the end of this year, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think that they still have 3 arbitration
years.
Yeah,
that's true. They'll still have arbitration controls, because he didn't sign that away. I remember reading about that.
You know, that's two players that were in there starting. I call him a starter just because he was there the second game of the season last year. So I feel like he started all
year. Yeah.
Where I think you have a guy in Diaz and you have a guy in Piscotty that they may ultimately sell low and trade both of them. And, you know, I don't know that that's the way that they feel like they could do that. Sorry to stutter that out. I don't know if that's maybe the game plan, but the way that they handled Leak, it would not surprise me if that happened to both of them.
You never know, for sure. And, I mean, Diaz may be under, you know, arbitration for the next 2 or 3 years, but if they don't think he's going to be playing in the big leagues, plus I don't know how many option years he has left, that'd be interesting to look too, because he should.
I believe it's 2.
Okay, I wasn't sure with him being on the 40 man. I thought they had to add him early, so that he might have lost some more. But that's fine. Still, if you don't think he's going to,
no, he has one left. Yeah.
If you don't think he's going to be significant player for you next year at the big league level, do you really want to go to arbitration with him?
Sure.
You know, so that could be another non-tender, which frees up another spot on the 40-man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I think if he doesn't come up, then that's pretty telling, that the organization probably has, you know, given up on him. You know, I may be wrong, but I think that, you know, they bring up, Cardinals don't do it as much as other teams. They don't typically bring somebody up just for the, you know, the reward of it, unless they're a catcher. You know, I think Travis Tartamala and those kind of guys occasionally get a promotion just because. But still, I feel like, you know, there's less to be lost by bringing Diaz up now, with all the other people on the roster. And with all the other people on the roster, the infield is still not exactly well covered. You know, you've got Garcia, who's going to have to play a lot of third, apparently, with Jerko out. You've got, you know, they brought up Mejia, who can play the middle infield. That's really about it, though. I mean, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah.
And that's not huge depth for September.
No, and I'm not insinuating at all that they're lying. And when I say this next statement, my deal is I would like to know the truth on why he doesn't get called.
Yeah.
Because you would think, you're just like, okay, yeah, you're in a race. You're 5, you're 6 games back. And there's points of the season where he carried you last year. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to happen this year. We get it. The adjustments just aren't there. But you can't tell me that he's not a better option than Garcia.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. And I'm just like, you know, anytime Garcia plays a week at all, he gets exposed. And, you know, with Jericho out, you would think this would be the perfect opportunity to play him. So I would really like to know the true reasoning behind it. And it may be one of those that no one will ever know it. You know, it may be a Diaz deal. It may be a Diaz has been a complete jerk situation. You know, I don't see that out of him, but that may be the situation. So I don't know. I just wish there would be one of these. This is one of those situations where I wish that we knew we were a fly on the wall and we knew exactly what was going on in the thought process on both sides.
Yeah, and you know, again, you're right. I don't expect that it's a character issue on Diaz. I mean, you do have the fact that he came to learn other positions. You know, probably trying to do his best, but it just doesn't feel like he's done a whole lot at AAA this year. And so, you know, you weigh that in, but. Yeah. I don't know. I think you're right. I think that's going to be an interesting discussion and an interesting thing to watch this offseason as well. I don't know. I think that we're going to have to see what they've got this year. Like I said,
sure.
That may be all the call-ups, but except for like Sierra or something like that. But you know, if it is, there's some interesting people to watch. I guess over the last month. And see how things pan out. And that's, you know, like you said, that's what we want to see. I mean, if you're not going to be, you know, actively in a race, which, you know, the Cardinals are sitting, as of right now, you know, 5 games out of the wild card race, and, you know, what, about 6 games out of the Central, you know, you're kind of dancing on the fringes, but you're really not actually in the race. 6.5 out with the Cubs win today. You know, you gotta, at least you'll have, you know, the chance of seeing Alcantara come in and Flaherty every 5th day and some different guys that we hadn't seen all year and gotten sick of.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was, you know, we can't say stale roster enough. Yeah. You know, it was one of the, we were tired of it, you know, come the end of June to where we thought, okay, we've got 6 weeks, there's going to be changes, not a lot of changes. Ultimately, there are going to be, you know, that it's just going to have to happen. So I like the fact that we're seeing what we're seeing now. You know, like even Gant right here worked into an issue. Flaherty wasn't great tonight, but he left enough to where I think you need to get him a start again. He had one bad inning, essentially. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it happens, but it's fun. And I was looking forward to tonight. I think everybody can say the same thing, that they were looking forward to the Flaherty start. I'm ready. You know, it kind of stinks that Alcantara, you know what, where he's going to get that first appearance on the road on the West Coast. You know, it may be during the day tomorrow, maybe during the day Sunday or Monday. You know, you never know. But it's fun. Now we're getting these guys back and we're seeing what everybody's all about. And you know, best case scenario, they catch fire and win a few games with the kids. If not, you see what you have a little bit for next year, and you build up and get ready for spring training.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating to have this. You know, at least last September, even though we knew it was a flawed team, there was still that chance of sneaking into the playoffs until the very, very last day. You know, this team doesn't really have that. I mean, this is a team that's biggest race, maybe, to see if they can finish over 500. But it will be interesting. I mean, it's kind of like when we watched Reyes pitch last year, you know, when he called up and got a chance to see him on a regular basis. You know, obviously Luke Weaver has really shown over this last little bit outing, you know, two back-to-back 10-strikeout games, has looked really good. You know, there's something interesting to watch there. You know, we don't know if Adam Wainwright will be back this year, and if he does, we may see him out of the bullpen. Let him conserve his arm and let these young guys go. You know, it used to be that you kind of wanted to see Martinez pitch, and then you kind of held your breath the rest of the way through the rotation. But, you know, right now, at least with Weaver and Flaherty, you want to see those guys pitch, even if you're not 100% sure what the outcome could be.
Yeah, and you can live with that. I mean, it's a lot easier to watch that than to see what they were throwing out. They were so good early in the year. It kind of pains me to even say how bad the rotation was here in the past month and a half. You know, because that's all I was touting. I was like, they're still in the race because their starters are so good. So I completely agree with you. It's even in losses, it's intriguing to watch some of these guys. And
and that makes it fun here for the second half. And you brought up a really good point about Wainwright, about you know come back and going, you know, two innings a night every third night out of that bullpen, as opposed to, you know, throwing your 5-6 innings and wondering when it's going to snap, you know, out of the rotation. So that's a little more intrigue that adds here to the end of the season with Waino.
Yep. All right. Well, you know, we're running probably just a little bit short tonight than our normal, which people might be very excited about. I don't know. But I just got to think we've hit the high points. And, you know, like I said, this is not, you know, you don't really worry about what the results are on the field right now. I don't think we have a lot to talk about how people are going. A lot of moves this week, and I think that was the biggest thing to discuss. Alan, is there anything I'm missing that we really ought to hit on again before we close it up?
No, just kind of a recap. I mean, it's easy to be down on them right now because it's back-to-back years of possibly missing the playoffs, and it's probably looking probable that's going to happen. Just know that a lot of the things that didn't happen that everybody thought were going to happen, and that being your rotation carrying you and Matt Carpenter taking that next step in and being a stud. And we may have just characterized him poorly. And he could be a complimentary player, and they may just be missing that one piece. They're not as far off as we think they are. And I think the intrigue of this roster and the talent that they have, that if they had a 90-win season this year, people would live. They snuck into the playoffs legitimately and got in, won a game or whatnot. The system is so talented that they would look at it and just think it's completely loaded. But it looks flawed right now just because what we see every night is the roster, just like I said, is stale. But there's high hopes, and the future's going to be bright.
Yeah, I think so. And again, I think that this puts it, you know, I know a lot of people are questioning whether the front office will do anything this offseason. You know, I just think that they've got to the point where they're going to have to do something. It may not be as much as we want, and may not be as exciting as we want. But there's going to be something.
Sure.
That lets us sit up and take notice.
Yeah, I think that I completely agree with that. And I think there is going to be some movement, but I will say some of these guys that most of the fan base wants jettisoned, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that there will be some additions, but I think the 2018 lineup may look pretty similar to what we have now, but I think it will be upgraded. And I think that the expectations will be a little bit higher and attainable.
All right. Well, like I said, Alan and I will be with you throughout the rest of September, talking about this team for sure. And then getting into some off-season talk as that goes on. But, you know, the Cardinals, you know, they finished up this road trip. They've got two more with the Giants and then four with the Padres before coming home and facing a team that I don't know because I don't have a schedule in front of me.
That's Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh's turned in the uniform.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, you know, they had their chance to stay in the race and have kind of slumped since then. And so we'll see how that pans out, because these teams are not good doesn't mean the Cardinals will beat them. I mean, we've seen plenty of that. I mean, the Cardinals are a 500 team, and 500 teams don't necessarily just run over teams that are playing 480 ball or 490 ball, you know. So
I expect him to play well enough to finish three games back. That's probably what's going to happen.
Probably put a run together after the division's clinched. And
exactly.
That seems to be the way. So win enough of those games against the Cubs to make it interesting, I guess. That's about it. So anyway, until next week, that's Alan. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Sutter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.